where the people ripping him off, well, they had nothing. They had to steal from him.
Well, think of it on the other side now. I mean, now I'm like, it's like four or five different languages I've been translated into. My name is getting around the world. I'm giving this stuff away. I'm not hiding it in a book, you know, that you got to buy. People are reading my work. You know, will I ever make money of it? I don't know, but I'll get people's attention. Maybe they'll ask me to travel and lecture. Maybe they'll attract more people to the organizations we're building. Maybe the money will come some other way. In the meantime, these shut-ups have absolutely nothing to offer, except supposedly some interesting knowledge somewhere, if you pay the $29.95. Nobody's paying it, of course. They're not growing as organizations.
But the real question... Oh, sorry, go ahead, Cammy.
I'm sorry.
No, please, go ahead.
I was saying, even if you don't buy books on occult subjects, for example, let's say astral projection, if you find it online, you know, somebody's saying, well, this is how you do astral projection, and you try and try it, and you have no success, and then suddenly, like, you figure it out. No, it's not if I do it this way. It's something that perhaps you already knew how to do all along. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, you feel ripped off when you bought the book, right?
Right. As far as the gnosis, when you read something that resonates with you, it's something that you feel like deep inside, and I'm not simply just talking about, oh, you know, it's just telling people what they want to hear, because it's not just going with their rationalization to themselves, because they may not even know why. And so that leads them on to being curious and to investigate for themselves.
Well, that's the aspiration, yes. The aspiration leads you forward in a very sincere and authentic manner. I mean, that's the sole key to the meaning of aspiration, I think. It's an intuitive juncture that simply must happen in order for the spiritual journey to really, truly begin.
Yeah.
And once it begins, it begins. Those of us that are down the path, the first thing we should feel about those aspirants is, wow, I remember being there. How can I help? How can I help foster your path along? Not, well, I can help you, but I need the money.
Yeah. Well, yeah, what I wanted to add was, I think the real issue is, what is your intention? If my intention is to make money, then I do what I need to do to make money. If my intention is to produce occult gnosis, then that's going to change the core of my actions. And this is connected to an alchemical secret as well. The big secret behind alchemy is working with the first substance, which many of us will agree upon turns out to be the ether, or this subtle force behind all matter, which is affected by your intention. Now, if I'm mixing my intentions, I don't get a pure outcome. And if I want to produce a spiritual product, then I have to produce a spiritual product. It's as simple as that. Now, if I'm wanting to make something to make money off of, my intention is divided, and I'm no longer in tune with the intention to produce new gnosis or prophecy or whatever it is I'm after.
You know, the old proverbial house that cannot, you know, divide against itself cannot stand. You know,
yeah.
And there's another great alchemical saying, to get gold, you got to start with gold. So, you know, if I want gnosis, I've got to start with gnosis. If I want to get people into my lineage or my order, or do I want to make, you know, I want to serve the earth and bring more and more people, you know, into this great knowledge, well, you know, I've got to, You know, I've got to give them this material that these other guys are selling. How are you going to attract intelligent people into your lineage if they've got to buy the book first? What, you want them to come in blind? You're looking for sycophants. You're looking for worshippers.
Yeah, now if I want to start a business, I could start a new age business, and that's a matter, a completely different matter. Then I could just rehash books, do some good research, put some watered down versions of my own insights, but I have to think of what would sell, and what sells to the masses, or as what Nietzsche would call the rabble, is not the same thing as a new gnosis and what comes out from within. What comes out from within me doesn't give a shit if other people are going to like it or not. Doesn't give a shit if it will offend people. Doesn't really give a shit if other people are even interested in it or not. The process is different.
Even along AA lines, you know, if I'm making money off of my students,
that's a break of the honor.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, let's pretend that I am. I mean, we know the College and Temple of Dilemma has an outer level course that qualifies you for probationers, so they feel they're not breaking that rule. If we look at that and we say, wow, how are they compromised by this? What if they get somebody who really doesn't have an aspiration? They show up, they're just morons, but they're like, showing up and saying, well, I want to join your College of Devil and Believer. Well, they're going to say, okay, well, you know, pay the registration fees, buy the books, blah, 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 blah. They're not going to turn around and say, listen, you know, you're really not ready for this yet. You know, why don't you go back to church? You know, or whatever it is you got to do. No, they're going to tell you that you're wonderful, marvelous, because if they told you anything else, you'd quit and they'd lose money.
When I'm listening to this, it's basically what I hear is if you're into business or if you're into making money, you can't really be into the other things we talked about at the same time. It's like
you can't serve two masters. You can only serve one master.
Well, yes and no. You can do business and be an occultist, but don't mix the two. You know,
that was what I meant.
My clothing is not for sale, but you know, if you want to buy some gas and electric, you know, especially if you live in New Jersey, I'll sell you free solar panels and reduce your electric cost by 43%. We'll talk business. Okay.
Yeah. And when I'm talking business, you know, what I say is going to affect, be determined by my intention to make money.
Yeah.
So don't trust everything I say.
Yeah. But if we're talking spirituality, you know, that's not for sale. But hell, go to my websites. I put a lot of effort and money into developing these websites, and you get it all there for free. And if you want to talk more about it, join our e-group, join the AA, or give me a phone call, send me an email. I'll take the time to talk to you. Hey, free, no cover charge any time, man.
And also, Crowley set a good example in that he tried to sell many of his published works only at the cost just to continue publishing it.
Yeah.
And he was also well known to give many of his works away when he could afford it, because his goal was to influence the planet and to make Philemic Current known. So that was his intention. If he mixed the intentions, he would be hurting his magic. Now,
what did you create New Gnosis for? Did you create New Gnosis to make money or to help people? To serve?
Yeah, we're talking before about generating or encouraging personal genius within people. And I mean, if that's the goal with the culture, it shouldn't be to make, you can't really, like Ryan said, mix those two objectives or intentions.
You look at somebody like this Holy Order of Robert Cooney, well, they have some secrets. And of course, remember, mystery is the enemy of truth. You got to pay your dues and you got to pay your initiation fees, and then you can get access to those secrets.
But then if you don't like the secrets and if they prove to be bullshit, it'll be very hard for you to see the truth.
Yeah, you don't get your money back.
Dissonance.
You know,
when you invest money in something, it's very hard to assess it with a high degree of objectivity.
Yeah.
And this is the secret behind forming cults and behind controlling groups of people.
Yeah. We have no
get them to invest first.
Yeah, we have no secrets in this lineage. There's absolutely nothing about us, AA-wise, AOM, AMHR, GCL, that isn't on that web, isn't known. We won't discuss it. If there's something not covered there, call me up, we'll cover it. You know what I'm saying? There are those things, perhaps, that maybe would be difficult to talk about if you don't have much spiritual experience.
Well, there are magical secrets, but the real magical secrets cannot be written or told directly. They're things that you experience firsthand.
Yeah, we're not hiding the hidden cord, the lost word, the secret word of power.
We teach techniques that will allow you to see for yourself the real secrets.
And this is, I think, the thing that is the most important. And certainly, we don't have a director of copyright enforcement. You know, we're not wasting our time and energy scouring the web like Hoare and the Caliphate OTO do, making sure nobody publishes their material to cause them some supposed financial damage.
Because think about it. Think if somebody stole our materials and started publishing it, that many more people who are interested in it would then have access to it, and then our goal would be furthered. No, somebody might be making some
money. When I find somebody copying my stuff, I call them up and thank them.
Good point.
What a flattering compliment. They liked my material so well that they've now put it on their website. Damn, thank you very much. I'm really flattered. I worked hard to create that.
Mm-hmm. One of the questions were, how do we know he's departed in the current, and might he not continue to exist in the astral?
Really? That's right.
That's a good question, actually.
Yeah. And certainly we look at people that channel these guys, right?
Or supposedly.
You know? So supposedly, I mean, let's just say it is possible that, like, Moda's hanging out in the astral, or Crowley's hanging out in the astral, or Grant, or Cod, or Russell. That they're hanging out in the astral. Well, how do we know? Wouldn't we need the same verifiable techniques, and wouldn't they need to be continuing their work?
Yeah, that implies an afterlife. But I think what's more important is, as far as how do we know he's departed from the current? Well, I would just say, is the current still there?
Well, the current's still there. Certainly the 93 current is still there, right? We're all telling each other that we're a part of it.
Well, to me, Crowley didn't create the 93 current. Crowley was a vehicle for the 93 current. It's something much larger than Crowley.
True. His new gnosis, he always attributed to the secret chiefs.
And I think we would have something similar without Crowley. I mean, it wouldn't be the same, but something similar would have come.
Well, that's a really good perspective, Ryan, I think. And I think, what would you say created the 93 current if Crowley didn't?
Was it Rabelais?
Well, we could go into Rabelais, sure. You know, I mean, Rabelais starts a lot of it off. As a matter of fact, there's one guy out there, one of the big jerks of my censure, who's convinced that Crowley simply libeled Rabelais and copied the whole thing.
Well, I see this as looking on the surface and as valid, but internally I see it as something that came from the secret chiefs, which is a very elusive concept, of course. And if I were to go more metaphysical and philosophical, I would say that it's a movement in the universe. If we see the universe as unfolding itself in the matrix of space and time, you see different stages of development, and it represents a different stage of development shaping the evolution of human beings. And it manifests collectively. It comes out in the work of Rabelais. It comes out in Nietzsche. If anything, a lot of Crowley's stuff, you could argue, was ripped from Nietzsche. But I don't think it was ripped so much as Crowley was tuning in to the same wave. And if anything, Nietzsche was tuning into this wave and prophesizing it on some.
Well, but certainly we know Crowley is one of the original masters of Thelema. And we know that after him comes men like Grant, Moda, Akkad, and Russell. And these guys were masters in their own right, too. They are all dead now.
But
now,
he...
Let me continue if you don't mind. Now, some people could be coming along saying, well, I'm channeling and I'm still in direct communication with Moda. Okay, fine. Moda then would be continuing his work through you. Where's the new gnosis that Moda would be continuing? Moda did a lot of stuff. Okay? Where's the new gnosis that Crowley or Russell or Cod would be still generating? If that's not coming forth, then you're just giving command. Well, Moda says that, you know, you have to play with my pee-pee tonight. you know what I'm saying? Then that's not new gnosis. So then truly the master has departed. It is incumbent upon either the current itself or somebody in the current to step forward and say, I am the new master now. Here is my work. Here is my proof of contact with the secret chiefs. Okay? And you don't have to play with my pee-pee. Just look at the work and see what it inspires in you. Okay?
Didn't Thymidil Viri say something about that as well? I think I saw some YouTube clips where he talked about that he thought that he was actually carrying on the work of Aleister Crowley.
Fine. Let's say he was. He was carrying on the work. But one thing we know about Timothy Leary, he was doing his own work. He wasn't doing Crowley's work.
He was promoting a lot of Crowley's ideas, but Timothy Leary did present his own unique ideas, that's for sure. Now,
yeah,
maybe
his
he's claiming they're
entirely different.
Now, maybe he's claiming that was the work of Crowley. I don't know what he really claimed in that regard. But,
Crowley would have been amazed at the 1960s. He felt that kind of an era would have happened much later. So, indeed, I mean, there was something to that era that I think was very... and in its own way, but at the same time, you know, I don't think that Tim Leary meant to say he was picking up where Crowley left off and he was taking the same test tubes and mixing them in the same laboratory. He was just simply saying, he's continuing on now as the master, but he's doing it his way. You know, in much the same way, you know, I don't look at C.F. Russell or Frederick Codd or Kenneth Grant. None of them are doing anything really of what Crowley would have done. I think Grant came up with an entirely new system of gnosis that was much more his own, built off of the Thelemic paradigm directly. And he gave a tribute to where tribute was due.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Cammie?
The thing about that is that when we're reading people's results from, for example, say, Liber 231 and so on, they're telling you their results, their experiences, but they're not saying, no, this is how you do it. And that's why there's an emphasis on taking detailed notes, all the conditions that may affect their results.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Everyone has their own unique experiences, and everyone is so individual and so very much God.
In the end, the ultimate authority in some ways is the magical diary of each individual aspirant, because that shows you as close as possible, I think, an objective view of what's happening and what is needed. You know, if I notice in my diary that every time I... eat hamburgers, that I'm not able to concentrate well on my yoga, but when I'm just eating beans, I'm able to levitate, pun intended. then that the authority is there that if I want to levitate, I need to eat beans.
Well,
doesn't matter if Crowley was able to levitate by eating pork, you know what I mean?
Well, of course, I guess we'll give Crowley some grand exception here, but, you know, the master who declares himself a master, the one thing we know about him is he's not a master. I'm saying, don't go around declaring yourself master. I can't prove myself master to anybody. I could declare it if I wanted to. It would be a waste of time. Because I can't prove it. Okay? So, I'm not the master. You're not the master. Blah, blah, blah. Our works someday will speak to somebody, and somebody may decide that we are or are not masters at what we did. But that's up to them. That's not up to me or you for yourself or anyone for themselves. Now, it's a joke. A guy that's going around declaring that he's a master is a guy that's just trying to hit on girls at bars.
thank you for that, Paul. I was thinking we've been at it for a while now, and maybe we could round up with a last question on the discussion on that.
I wanted to add also Moda's commentary to the book The Law, where he talks about not making a difference between any one thing and any other thing, and it says. He who can master this is the chief of all. Moda adds that what this really implies is that a real master doesn't care if you think he's a master, doesn't care if you follow his orders, and doesn't even really care if he's a master, because he's not really making a difference between any one thing or any other thing.
Yeah.
He's just doing what he does. He's
Everyone's a master. See that pretty little dog over there? Come on, let me pet you. Such a master you are.
Let me show you what I can do as a master.
You can date all the dogs you want there, Ryan.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. That was a really good quote or perspective on the thing. The question I had, the last question, I think, we will have time for tonight, is how do you see the future of all this? Or how would you want to see the future? Or what do you think?
I'm not so much concerned of the future as I am in the present moment.
Like, how, what do you feel? What do you, where is this going, basically?
You mean like the
more, I see more and more self-proclaimed idiotic masters. I see more and more people masturbating to poetry and thinking they're magus. At the same time, I see out of that, probably like most times, a few more people producing really, really good work. I think this is what's always happened and what will continue to happen. The only difference is the population's bigger. And our access to information is much greater. So we should see more of the good and a lot more of the idiotic as well. Because in order to get some, you know, good wheat, you have to produce a lot of chaff. Or as they say, you can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs. Well, I'll tell you, there are going to be a lot of eggs being broken.
Okay, so you get laid around, Brian. Stop writing.
Okay. Well, not by me, but just in general, by four or more people being exposed to the occult, you're going to have more and more duds, but we'll also have more and more really interesting things coming out, too. That's pretty much what I see.
100 years from now, nobody is even going to remember my name. If perhaps by some stroke of luck, some of my work has led somebody else to create some work that will lead somebody else to create some work, then, you know, somehow I guess I can find some satisfaction in that what I've done now has had that effect. But what I've done now has tremendous meaning for me now. In the scope of things, I am smaller than an ant inside the cosmos, which is so vast that it is incomprehensible. And its duration incomprehensible. There's nothing I could do, great or anti-great, that would bear any real meaning on the universe, and yet I'm not a nihilist. I bring meaning to my own life as a god, And that exists in the now, in the here and now, and that's it. Right now I'm doing this marvelous podcast, and I'm really proud of what we're doing here, and this is a beautiful, beautiful thing, you know, and that's all I need to know, you know, and then I'm going to go have some dinner, and that's going to be a beautiful thing, too.
I think that, especially in today's world with all this technology, people are becoming more distant from each other, and they also want to have meaning in their lives. And as far as when it comes to spirituality, as David was saying earlier, you know, he's trying to find that balance there and how to love, because there are so many ways that people could love, and I guess all of those ways contribute to love. But or again, when it comes to spirituality, you may wonder, well, what's the relevance of doing this ritual? Like, how does this relate to my life and my meaning? So either people will give up, or they'll keep on and gain some insight into that.
Marvelous.
Hmm. Oh, thank
nice.
You. Thank you.
Yeah. I really like that point, Cammy. I think that's a great way to close.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, so new gnosis, basically. We'll look into what we've recorded and try to put something together. And, yeah, and see what happens next. I guess that's it. So, do we have it? Should we end it in a certain kind of way, or I don't know.
Circle jerk.
I said, okay,
I don't know what to do but you.
For those who are of us, we'll blow a big kiss, and for everybody we insulted this afternoon, we'll flip a bird.